I don't know why Netflix, when they make the suggestions on things I think I'm going to like, only think I watch documentaries and children's shows.
Do you log on all the time? Or are you on there all the time? This is actually something that I see a lot of right now. So my wife and I were watching a show, Inventing Anna, right? Mm-hmm. The one about the fake Harris or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're watching the show, and I don't particularly like it, all right? But she's super into it. There's 9 episodes, so it's all this time, so it's going to, like, affect the algorithms, right? So for now on, the suggestions that Netflix sends me are going to be terrible shows, like the show I'm watching right now for the next month. I've got a terrible month ahead of me.
Well, right, because you watched one bad show. Now you only want to watch bad shows like that.
Shows that are just like that show.
They think, like, because I watched a documentary one time, I only care about documentaries.
Exactly.
I'm looking at, like, my top picks right now. Dakota's my little one. She's 3 years old. When I go to turn on shows for her, sometimes I log in under me. Sometimes I log in under her. I don't really pay much attention. Top picks for Anna. All of Us Are Dead. Next to Chip and Potato, which is an animated show about a dog and I think a maybe cat, could be a potato.
Not All sure. of Us yeah. Are Dead.
All right? of Us Are Dead.
Okay.
Yes.
What is that about?
I don't know. But it's a top pick. It's like, do I want to watch Shark Dogs or Vikings Valhalla? Those are the only two options for my top picks.
What else do you have for options? If you scroll, because they tend to get a little bit more out of the circle, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that they believe 100%. Anna Zapp loves these two shows.
Right.
Right? And then after that, they get a little bit more fringe.
Can I make this your top pick on your Netflix?
My whole list is just like murder or at this point right now, financial shows.
Wait, so here's the thing that I just realized since I went to Netflix.com. You can pick on top the profile.
Yeah.
So I can go to Hayden, my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, this is going to be revealing.
And
Do
now
you
I can see what she's watching. Continue watching for Hayden, Grey's Anatomy. 13-year-olds watch Grey's Anatomy?
I wouldn't think so, but that's tame enough. She must have got that from watching you
watch it. Hype House. Okay, I get that.
That's like the social media thing,
the
right?
The social media. Girls Incarcerated. Good. I hope she's learning something about not being terrible.
You think that this is like a home version of Scared Straight?
Yeah. And Hoarders. Maybe it's teaching her to clean up the house and not go to jail. Not terrible, I guess.
Could be worse.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? Call 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you buy a $400,000 minivan, that's all I need to know about you.
This is the thing now in Hollywood that you got to do that, especially if Kanye gets one, then everybody else in the family's got to get one because we all got to show that we're equal parents on this footing.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but sure. When I got married many years ago, I said to my husband, I will do anything you want. We will be partners for life. Uh-huh. But if you make me drive a minivan, I will divorce you in a heartbeat. I've always been anti-minivan.
Well, of course.
I don't like them.
I mean, with the image-wise, they made them to be these terrible things. But the truth is today's minivan is dope.
Right. I disagree.
Stop.
I don't like them. I think that they look like, I can't. They're like minibuses. I just don't understand the thing. Kim Kardashian had a Maybach $400,000 minivan made. And now you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Whether or not you like it,
yeah.
Everybody's going to want minivans again.
Right.
They're going to be taking up all the room and all the parking spots across America because they're way too big with their weird sliding doors.
They don't take any more room up whatsoever.
They're ginormous.
No, they go taller primarily, usually.
They're just too big.
Yeah.
Too big.
Have you ever gotten in a friend's loaded like Honda Odyssey? They're dope, man. They got one of them coolers in the floor and whatnot. DVDs all around. Like, I mean, I could fly that way. It's like being in first class seating. It's beautiful.
No, one of my girlfriends tried to sell me on this. She had one early on when she started having kids. She's like, she got one. Now, this is years ago before it was, you know, quote unquote cool now. Ugh.
Sure.
And I remember as the door slowly like,
slid. From either angle.
Right.
I mean, if you open both and a bird's flying by, they can go right through your vehicle.
I walked in. I was like, it's like I'm in like a small living room. Like, this is,
it's beautiful.
I'm not.
It's a mini RV.
Oh, gosh. It's all I need to know about you.
You don't even need kids. Like, you think rappers will be coming out getting some $400,000 like minivans and whatnot? This could start a trend.
Sitting in car seats with their sippy cups, eating their goldfish in the back seat.
Oh, man. I mean, it sounds like things would be much more orderly that way. Let's be honest, mm-hmm. right?
1-800-330-9999. It's all I need to know about you.
If you live in an apartment building and you're letting your kids run up and down the hall screaming, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, that's a thing.
It's a thing?
I used to live in an apartment building at one point, and people would just, I mean, it was like they thought it was a babysitter because it's kind of like a locked platform. Mm-hmm. Like if your apartment building's got those doors, they got to buzz in. They feel like their kids are relatively safe. We're within this building of X amount of people that we know. I can hear them screaming, so I kind of know where they are. There's a certain amount of parents that believe that that's actually babysitting.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Although I do like the idea of them being contained to a hallway with nowhere for them to escape.
Yeah.
And like a long area to run to get tired.
Yeah, it's like a dog runner without the leash.
I mean, I kind of see the upside to that. I really do.
Well, thanks. You're part of the problem, not the solution.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
There can be only one champion. And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Fadness Tournament.
Well, everybody's watching basketball around here, looking to crown the biggest fad of all time, according to you. Now, we started with the Sweet 16. You can still see the full bracket at annaandraven.com. We are down to the Final Four, and today is the first matchup. And it's a big one, Raven. Whew! And there's been a lot of controversy online about these two. Because people have argued they're not actually fads because people are doing them again. But I was like, but that's the thing about fads. They make a complete cycle.
Right, right. They come in, they're hot like a meteor. You know what I mean? Like it's a comet flashing across the sky. Everybody sees it. Everybody's talking about it. After that, a certain amount of people are always going to love that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it trails off, definitely.
Right. So up first in the Final Four, Pokemon Go.
I play Pokemon Go every day.
He plays every day.
Every single day of his life.
When he wakes up, he grabs his phone.
Goes outside and plays Pokemon Go.
He wants to catch every single one of them.
He has 17,000 steps by 9 a.m. because he's searching for Pokemon Go.
94 million views. It's actually up to 95 million today. So that means that over the last week or so that we've been talking about this song with Pokemon Go, a million more people have tuned in to check out that song. It has a 10-hour version of it on YouTube. You know you're famous. You got a 10-hour version of your audio looping.
It was years ago when Pokemon Go first launched, and we saw one of our coworkers outside in a bush. And we
in the trees.
We didn't understand what was happening, and we were very concerned for her well-being. And we said, hey!
You know what?
You okay? And she was like, I got Pokemon Go, I'm going to get him. And I was like, she's in a bush.
If I can be honest, I'm still concerned about that individual's well-being. I hope she's doing well wherever she is. I do.
But I will say that since we've discussed this, I didn't realize that so many people still play Pokemon Go. It is incredible the support that Pokemon Go has going into the Final Four.
It's like the Beehive, right?
Right.
You know, people, the fans have been very intense, no question.
And up against Pokemon Go in the Final Four, looking to make it to the finals, Crocs.
Today, we're starting production on the shoe of the future, powered by a bio-based Croslite that looks, feels, and functions exactly like it has in our Crocs shoes. Same Crocs, just half the carbon footprint by 2030 as a part of our larger sustainability initiatives.
See, this is part of my problem with Crocs. They make it sound like it's the shoe of the future, like, you know, it was designed on a spaceship, and this is what everybody's going to be wearing on Mars. And if we're wearing it on Mars, I'll just argue that it's due to a lack of options. That's all I'm saying.
I still go back and forth on what is the uglier shoe, Uggs or Crocs.
But I feel like Uggs, like, you know, it's sheepskin. It's like they're like a Sherpa. Like,
so you know,
if you're climbing Everest, like the Ugg has a reason that it makes sense, right?
Uh-huh. But Crocs, I mean, chefs wear Crocs all the time. Nurses wear Crocs and they swear by them. I mean, I don't understand. I tried on my daughter's Crocs the other day because, again, they're back in fashion.
Sure.
And like, remember the Adidas that hurt your feet?
Yes,
but
the
everybody
slides.
Wore them.
Yeah.
I was like, these aren't comfortable. These hurt my feet. Like, I don't understand why people think they're so comfortable.
I never loved the slides either. I mean, if you're a chef, you're going to drop tomato sauce on it. You want something you can hose down.
Well,
I get it.
Yeah, it works for Crocs, I guess.
I get it.
I guess the same could be said for nurses, but you don't want to talk about what they're spilling on their Crocs. Yeah. It's a big day. It's a big day around here. While everybody's watching basketball here, it's March Fadness, looking to crown the biggest fad of all time. We had the Sweet 16. You can see the full bracket at annonraven.com. The Rachel haircut eliminated on day one.
There certainly has been surprises along the way, Anna. But now here we come down. The Final Four matchups to figure out who's actually going to be in the finals. And heavy hitters today, Pokemon Go versus the Crocs.
That's a tough one. Pokemon Go versus Crocs. One is a fashion statement that just literally will not go away, even though it's terrible. The other one, a game that we've learned also will not go away. People are just wandering around in the woods. 1-800-330-9999. What's it going to be?
I think I got to go Pokemon Go.
I'm so glad that just somebody, anybody, really, will take Crocs out.
please.
You know, we had a message on our text line that kind of stuck with me, and it said, Crocs don't belong in this bracket because people still wear them, so it's not a fad anymore, which I would disagree with, because I think it was a bigger fad, and then I don't know why there's a resurgence.
Right. If people are wearing them because they do a certain job and they're comfortable and they need something they can clean off or whatever, that's one thing. If people are wearing them because everybody else is wearing them, that's when, you know, it's the height of the fad.
But I would argue that when we started March Fadness, we had no idea how many people still played Pokemon Go. Like, we thought it was completely over. And, like, it's like they've come out of the woodworks to support Pokemon Go and push them into the finals.
Like a imaginary cartoon character that's hiding in a tree you found at the park?
That you have to throw fake ball with your finger on an app?
No, I mean, I was just told that's how the game works. I have no idea.
Was it going to be Pokemon Go or Crocs?
For me, Pokemon Go. I'm pretty sure that that thing came in just a huge surge of things, and then it went away, where I know people now that are still wearing Crocs, even though people hate on them. People are still doing it.
Well, we've learned that Pokemon Go is still a thing. We find it just as alarming as ever, but it looks like there's a whole legion of those people.
No kidding.
I mean, there's cards that are worth like $1 million.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Wow.
Is it going to be Pokemon Go or Crocs?
Crocs.
I can't. I just can't.
Do you still wear them? I don't know why Raven is so mad at Crocs. No one's asking him to wear them, but he gets very angry that so many people do.
They make Crocs heels now. They're amazing. They're so comfortable.
Is it Balenciaga that teamed up? I saw it. So Bloomingdale sends me emails every day because they know that I'm a sucker and I buy things. When
I mean,
say yes.
Balenciaga and Crocs.
I swear,
that's a necessary collaboration that we need.
Crocs, hold on. Was it them? Because I saw it on the Bloomingdale's thing. Yeah, it is Balenciaga. And I thought it was a joke at first. They're not. They're being sold at Bloomingdale's.com, and they are $625.
Oh, yeah, that's a sound investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Definitely a good call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Is it going to be Pokemon Go or Crocs that's going to make it to the finals?
Got to be Crocs. I mean, no one plays Pokemon Go anymore, you know, because of the pandemic. No one's, like, doing that.
No, everyone's
but
doing
Crocs,
that, we've learned. Every single
are.
Person
We're
is gonna in
We're
going to
give
the
them
woods.
Your address, sir.
Yeah.
They're going to find you.
Oh, really? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. But, yo, with Crocs, I'm wearing Crocs right about now, even.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, listen, I just turned 40. I'm all about the comfortable footsies.
Well, we were just talking about the Balenciaga Crocs for sale right now at Bloomingdale's. Let me show Raven.
I'm not doing that, though.
That's a $600
$625.
Shoe.
Imagine this box shows up at my house and my husband sees it. He'll definitely die, right?
Of course, he finds you playing in a bush out front chasing Pokemon. He would also be weirded out by that, I'm guessing.
Certainly, he would be concerned. Believe it or not, by very slim margins, Pokemon Go is making it to the finals of March Madness. So recently, I banned sleepovers. I just decided I don't like them. I don't feel good about them. So now my teenager, she can't have any. And she seems a little bit upset about that. But was it the right parenting decision? Erica Brunwasser is a parent expert and coach. You can follow her on Instagram at Parent Coach Erica, E-R-I-K-A. Erica, what do you think about sleepovers in general?
I think that whether it's a sleepover or going to sleepaway camp or going somewhere for a few hours with friends, doesn't necessarily matter what the kid's doing, but how well have you prepped them to make their own decisions?
Sleepovers were such a big part of my growing up. I feel like it was the time where I made great friends. I mean, yes, we got into some trouble from time to time, but it definitely elevated our social hierarchy, right? Like, I mean, there was an understanding, there was, you know, experiences shared together on that. I mean, sleepovers were a big deal.
See, my problem isn't my daughter, and I was never allowed to sleep out when I was a kid. My parents are from Italy and, like, did not understand. They would be like, oh, you don't like the home that I built for you, that I bought you? You don't like living? You know, so there was like a whole different kind of mentality. Like, you sleep in your bed. And I hated it when I was a kid, but as an adult, I understand why they did it. And you tell me, Erica, if I'm being overbearing here. It has nothing to do with my older daughter's decisions. She's a good girl. It's everything else, the things that you can't control. Like, if she's uncomfortable in the middle of the night, if there's, you know, peer pressure to do things that she doesn't want to do. Like, I feel like nothing good happens after 2 a.m. So why you should just be home.
So here's the thing. I don't agree with you. I think that you've raised her to be able to listen to her gut and to listen to her heart and know when she's not in a good situation. So if something good's not happening, she's not going to take part in it. I'm not guiding you to make decisions about your kid based on what I believe. I'm guiding you to make decisions about what you believe. And I think that you should stick to your beliefs and to your gut feeling on this as a parent. And you know what? If the other kids are doing it and she's not, she'll get over it because you're her mom and you know what's best for her.
How about teenage angst? So, you know, my oldest just turned 13 and I feel like I've been dealing with this for 100 years, even though she's now officially a teenager. Like when you start arguing with a teenager, it's like, should you have a different mentality or a different approach than when you're having a disagreement with, say, like one of your children that's in elementary school?
Teenagers are obviously tougher because they're trying to assert their independence. But I think whether the kid's 3 or 13 or 23, the approach is the same. You are trying to empathize with them. You're trying to put yourself in their position. Above all, you have to validate their feelings.
That's good. It's really good. I'm writing that down.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because they get crafty, those teenagers. And sometimes they just blow up the entire plan. No matter what you say with rationality, they'll be defiant the entire time.
But they have to be heard. They have to be heard, and they have to know that mom and dad understand, because that is the one thing that's going to keep the connection. And if you don't have the connection with the teenager, you better believe they're going to be doing things behind your back.
Do you think it's a problem to get into arguments about things like cleaning their room or them not doing their laundry or being messy? Or do you think that you have to give them a pass on that?
Well, you got to pick your battles. What's important to you? Is it important to you that she gets A's in school? Is it important to you that she has a clean room? And when you have clear expectations, they will meet them. So if she knows that every day the bed needs to be made, she'll make it.
Good advice. You want to check out Erica for yourself, Erica Brunwasser. You could follow her on Instagram at Parent Coach Erica, E-R-I-K-A. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you, guys.
You know, this seemed like a good idea when originally we came up with it. But now that I'm actually looking at the food in front of me and we have to eat it, I'm not so sure.
You see it on the plate.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So they released a list of the best unexpected combo snacks. So this is like when you put things together and they're supposedly absolutely delicious, but the thought of them together are gross, right? People do this all the time. They're like, have you ever tried this with this? And you're like, why would you even try that in the first place, right?
I feel like TikTok has kind of been invented for this, right? There's a whole, you know, vein of people that are on social media that this is what they're doing all the time, is that, oh, look at what I made, and I made it with this, and I made it on top of this, or something like that. So it's like this whole weird thing that people are into now.
Yeah, what's your weird combo snack? The snack that you made up that you think is delicious that everybody else thinks it's gross. 1-800-330-9999. We're going to go through some of these and try them for ourselves. We're going to rate these combos on a scale of 1 to 10. Producer John, Raven, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so up first, chocolate and avocado. Avocado's creamy, buttery texture naturally lends itself to chocolate-flavored recipes. This is what they said. So now we have a delicious Hershey bar here with a slab of avocado. And let's be honest, chocolate itself is delicious. Avocado by itself, delicious. I have avocado toast all the time, but I never thought about it like this.
Avocado's great. Not the most attractive thing smeared on top of chocolate.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't look like something that's necessarily going to be pleasant.
All right, let's give it a try.
Uh-huh.
Am I the only one that doesn't even taste the avocado?
Nothing. Right? I don't taste it at all.
No.
Yeah, no, it's barely there.
That's weird.
I'm not mad about it.
It gives it like a hummus texture almost a little bit too. If you've ever had like chocolate dessert hummus, like if you've had that, it's kind of got.
I'm going to say, I'll give that like a 9 because I don't even taste the avocado. I'm not even sure why it's there.
I'm going to give that a 5 because avocado is mad expensive, yo.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a waste of avocado right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 6. I mean, if I could taste anything, it'd be different, but I can't give it anything above average.
It's so weird that you don't taste the avocado at all.
Right. Not at all.
Okay, so we have Coca-Cola and chicken. Recipes for cola chicken are abundant, thanks to TikTok. And what they find is that it's got that salty, sweet combo. Now, you're supposed to fry the chicken in the Coca-Cola with the oil, but I wasn't aware of that.
Ooh.
So instead...
So you got chicken nuggies?
So I got chicken nuggets, or we're just going to dip it in Coke. All right, ready? Let's go.
I do like sweet and salty. I mean, this is my favorite thing for ice cream, is pretzels and ice cream. So sweet and salty is usually good for me.
I can't eat it. I can't swallow it.
What are you talking about?
That was disgusting.
This is great. This is my favorite thing we've ever done.
Producer John, scale of 1 to 10. Chicken nuggets dipped in Coke.
This is an easy 9.3.
Get out of here.
Easy 9.3.
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my mouth. Like, I spit it out.
Every single time you eat chicken nuggets, I'm usually going to have a Coke with it.
Mm.
Same time. Might as well. I'm not mad about it.
Cuts out the middleman.
What do you think, Raven?
Mm. You know, if the Coca-Cola was warm and the chicken was hot, that'd be one thing. These nuggets came out of the microwave quite a few minutes ago.
Mm.
And the Coca-Cola is cold, so the contrast isn't great. But I'll give it a 7.
Ew. What's your made-up snack? 1-800-330-9999. They have this list of all these new combo snacks that are absolutely delicious, but when you read them, they sound disgusting. We just tried Coca-Cola and chicken. I thought it was nasty. Producer John and Raven thought it was great.
Not mad about it.
I mean, I'm not going to say great. We had chicken nuggets heated up 10 minutes prior and then dipped in cold Coca-Cola. Not the way this thing was intended. I'm saying that I see the potential in there that if you cooked it the way it was advised and it was all warm, then it could be tasty.
Chocolate and avocado I thought was all right. I didn't even taste the avocado.
That was the best part, though. I mean, like, you just ate some chocolate, and that was it. It was great.
But I enjoy avocado, so, like, I don't want to, you know, get rid of the avocado flavor, the texture there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make for a good combination. It's just nice to eat chocolate, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, looking at our text line, in high school, they had spicy chicken patties on a bun, and I would pour chocolate milk inside to soak the bread. It was heavenly.
That sounds disgusting.
Right?
I think I went to high school with that person because we had the exact same thing and did the exact same thing.
Really?
That sounds repulsive. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Spicy chicken patty day was a special day.
And then you pour the chocolate milk inside?
I mean, listen, that person's out on a limb with that one, but I'm just saying, spicy chicken patty.
Well, okay. I mean, that's the normal part. All right, so, right. I mean, what are you talking about? So another thing they say to try, and they say it's absolutely delicious, we have right here, is salsa with green apples. They have to be green apples. So let's give it a quick try.
I'm going to be real with you. I'm not a big salsa guy myself, you know, from the get. All right. And green apples are not my favorite apples. I'm watching both of you guys eat them. And what is the thoughts on these? I want to hear your thoughts before I do it.
I mean, it's not something that I would seek out. Like, I wouldn't have it at home as my secret snack. But it's not the worst thing I've ever eaten in the world.
If somebody brought you a plate of this, you would finish the plate?
I wouldn't finish the plate, but I'd eat probably a third of it.
I might finish the plate. Like, think about it. You have mango salsa. You always, you know, pour lime into salsa. It makes it good. So, apple makes sense.
I'm going to give it a 5.
It's actually not that terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your made-up snack?
Peanut butter and bacon on toast.
Peanut butter and bacon on toast.
You know, I feel like people get too carried away with the bacon.
Yeah.
We get too carried away. How did you even try that?
My mother used to make it for me when I was a kid.
Really?
Anything is enhanced by bacon.
I don't know where she got it from.
And as a peanut butter fan, I would argue that most things are enhanced with peanut butter as well.
But on bacon, it's so, I mean, I understand the salty and the sweet, but like on a piece of bread?
I would try it.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. No, it's got to be toasted. You got to toast it. You can't have bread. It won't be the same.
Okay.
Nice crispy, like Wonder Bread. Crispy bacon and peanut butter.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your made-up combo?
Okay, I know this is going to sound totally crazy, but my daughter likes when I take all the marshmallows out of the Lucky Charms and then I melt chocolate on them.
Well, it doesn't sound crazy. It sounds delicious and like every kid's dream come true, but tedious as a mom to have to pick them all out.
Yeah, it's wasteful. I love the rest of the cereal. Now it's just sad cereal sitting without marshmallows.
Dakota, my little one, she, you know, she's 3, but she asked for Lucky Charms, and I give her like a big bowl, no milk in there, just the bowl of them, and she will pick at it until every marshmallow is out, and then she just gives me back all the other cereal.
Right. And what do you do with that?
Well, I eat
go
it.
Go the trash.
I eat it. You know me. I'm like, well, we can't let this go to waste.
That's
I should have known.
Excuse?
You should melt some chocolate in there.
You're like, it kind of tastes like marshmallows. It's marshmallow adjacent.
Right.
It had marshmallows rubbing against it. Wow.
On our text line, I love dipping my pretzels into iced tea. Why? Who wants soggy pretzels?
Yeah, that
right?
Seems a little bit wacky.
What is your made-up snack, that combo that everybody thinks is nasty, but you absolutely love it? 1-800-330-9999. They came out with this new list. We've been trying them for a while now. We tried chocolate and avocado, It was all right. You couldn't even taste the avocado. Coca-Cola and chicken, I thought it was nasty. Raven, you were cool with it.
I thought it had potential. I mean, again, we weren't cooking it to specification, but I thought it had potential.
Green apples and salsa, like, at first I thought it was okay, but now that it's been sitting in my mouth for a while, like, it's nasty.
Turning around in the stomach, you're thinking about it, and you're like, why? Why do these things together?
And the number one combo they say that you should try, and we have it right in front of us, we're going to try it now, is cheddar cheese and apple pie.
I mean, I've never done this. I never thought to do this. I thought apple pie was good enough by itself.
Now, this is cold. I have no idea if we were supposed to melt it or not.
Yeah.
It says the tradition of adding cheese to apple pie seems to have originated in England, and it's been going on for centuries, and it's an intriguing combo, it says.
Mm.
All right, let's see.
Intriguing, such an English word. Way to describe.
It is intriguing.
It's curious, right? That would be something that they would say. Curious what? That it tastes good. Let me try.
Would you believe it if I told you that's my favorite? It's really good. I'm going to eat this whole plate of cheddar cheese and apple pie right now. That's real good, right? It's not bad.
I'm still deciding.
I like it. 1-800-330-9999. Sienna and Raven, what's your made-up snack?
I like banana wrapped in Land O'Lakes American cheese.
Really?
Wow.
That is interesting. I have never heard that.
I mean, that's when you get home and you're starving and you open up the fridge and there's literally nothing.
It's the best snack ever. I mean, my dad put me onto it when I was younger and I just kept eating it.
Wow. Anna and Raven, what's your made-up snack?
So I used to work with this girl that was pregnant, and this was one of her crazy cravings, I guess. It was a buttered bagel with Doritos on it.
Oh, I love that. And I love that.
I've never.
Yeah.
It sounds strange, but
it was really good.
I do like chips on burgers.
I always have to have like a plain bagel, though. It can't be any other kind of bagel.
For me, I could put Doritos on anything. I could put Doritos on any sandwich and be happy.
I remember a time when putting chips or anything like that on a sandwich was weird. And then Bobby Flay was like, I'm going to put chips on every burger I make.
And then like Taco Bell was like, we're going to put chips in our tacos.
Let's put chips everywhere.
Right. And on Raven, what's your made-up snack?
Peanut butter on hot dog with mustard.
Oh, my gosh.
Why?
Peanut butter and mustard, like, I feel like that's so weird.
Why did that happen? How did that start? Were you walking with a hot dog, tripped and fell with the hot dog into a vat of peanut butter? I'm trying to imagine how you invented this.
Actually, one of my childhood friends, I went over and she had it and I tasted it and it was pretty good.
She fell over into a vat of peanut butter.
Yes, she did. It was her.
No, if it wasn't her, it was like her ancestors. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I mean? They were here. They were settling the area.
It was 1763.
Yeah, and when you're settling, you know, the floors, they were uneven. There could be a pothole in the middle of your living room. Anything could happen. She tripped and fell with the hot dog into the peanut butter, which they were churning by hand, of course.
That sounds weird.
And that's how it was invented, Anna.
Tiana and Raven, what's your made-up snack?
Blueberry pie. With Breakstone sour cream.
Wait, you put sour cream on blueberry pie.
It's so funny you said that because somebody wrote on our text line that their daughter eats Wendy's chicken nuggets, but only with sour cream. And I thought that was interesting, too.
Chicken and sour cream makes more sense to me than fruit and sour cream.
Does it?
Fruit and sour cream, I think of whipped cream.
Try it with the blueberry pie. I'm telling you, you're going to love it.
The big story all week was about alopecia. What is alopecia? Why does Jada Pinkett Smith have it? Why was she so offended by it? Dr. Adrienne Houghton is the director of medical and cosmetic services at Stony Brook Medicine. We know it's hair loss, but what exactly kind of hair loss? Like, how do you lose your hair as a woman? Like,
Doc, we don't know much.
We don't know.
We don't know much. Explain it to us.
Sure. So in the case of Ms. Pickett, she has alopecia areata, which is an autoimmune condition in which your immune system is attacking your hair follicle. For many people, it can occur in children to adults, and it's usually just patchy. Some people actually have total involvement of their entire scalp, and very rarely we see it involving the entire body where patients lose the hair on their eyelashes, their eyebrows, and on their arms and legs, and that's called alopecia universalis.
So what triggers this to happen? Is it just genetic?
This is essentially is a genetic condition, and it can be exacerbated by stress, but it's found in those patients who have a genetic predisposition, even if they're unaware of it. So for the first time, we can see it in young children in their like age 5, or we can see it in adults, people presenting for the first time at 50 or 60 years of age.
Doctor, we see that, you know, I mean, for men, obviously, we've been talking about male baldness for, you know, plenty of years here. And there's varying treatments with different success rates and so forth. But with, you know, this condition as a whole, what is the treatment regimen? What can people do? Do they do anything about it?
When patients have alopecia areata, usually the first line treatment can be topical medications such as topical minoxidil, commonly known as Rogaine, or topical steroids. And then more recently, there are some what are considered biologic medications such as Xeljanz that can be very effective to treat hair loss, although not yet FDA approved.
So I have other random hair questions, if you don't mind me asking. I recently had surgery and I was under anesthesia, and my hairdresser told me that a lot of my hair had fallen out.
What you are describing is telogen effluvium, and patients often notice that the hair is just falling out at the roots. And this is an accurate description, as a higher percentage of the follicles prematurely go into the resting phase. Normally, for the average person on any given day, 10% of your hair is in the telogen phase or the resting phase, and the hair is just kind of shed from the hair follicle. But we see a higher percentage of hair follicles in telogen for patients who've had any type of trauma or impact on their body, such as surgeries, pregnancy, high fevers, stress, and infections.
I mean, you sound so calm and level-headed, doctor, but this is the most terrifying conversation I've heard in a very long time.
But if people that have alopecia, besides the topical ointments and all that, do they see a success rate in it growing back?
We can see good success. Treatment can take time. And for some people who have more severe disease, they may need to be on medications for long periods of time, sometimes in fact years.
I have one last dumb question. I remember hearing that every 7 years, your hair changes. Like the makeup of it, it falls out, it changes texture. Is that true?
The short answer is yes. This is determined by the length of your hair cycle.
My grandpa's still got a full head of hair at 90 years old. I wonder what crimes he committed in his past life to get that.
Raven always is like, used to brag about this thick head of hair. And now lately, he's real quiet.
Starting to thin out.
Yeah, he gets
starting
so mad.
Thin out.
He gets so mad.
Last couple of years, I definitely should be sleeping later.
Yeah. Well, stress can definitely impact hair loss as well. So it's good to try to, you know, eat a healthy diet, eat a lot of protein. And then if you have any questions, just see a dermatologist, because there are a lot of great new treatments for hair loss.
Send me the magic elixir.
Right. Like if there's like a magic pill that I can take to make my hair thicker, like I really would like that.
Was that on the air?
Dr. Adrienne Halton, Director of Medical and Cosmetic Services at Stony Brook Medicine. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
3 news stories, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. You ready for your options, Raven?
Give it to me.
Puppy stolen by creepy clown has been found safe.
Well, at least it has a nice ending.
Number 2, teacher resigns after losing it and calling his class idiots. And number 3, woman continues to receive packages that she didn't buy.
All right, let me go with packages. I love the idea of actually Christmas showing up every day at my doorstop and
you
not knowing what
so.
It is.
Right? You would think that.
Yeah,
so,
no,
like,
I love that.
I'm glad you picked this one, because initially I'm like, what is this lady complaining about?
Right.
It's like, to me, it sounds like a dream come true. Like, you get packages and they tell you they don't want them back, just keep them.
Remember, there was like a whole industry built on you buy a mystery box and it's like returnable items from other stores. I mean, to me, that's the same thing. You didn't even have to pay for it.
Yes, but this woman says that she gets between 15 and 20 pairs of shoes, but there's a problem with all these shoes.
Okay. They're really funny. I mean, they're really, really, really tacky. Between 15 and 20 pairs of shoes, yeah. I am frustrated with this situation because it keeps repeating itself. They don't want the shoes back, and I don't want them either.
Well, do the nice thing. Donate those shoes.
What about the same?
Come on.
What's
15 to 20
deal?
Pairs? How often is that? If that's once a week, like, that's a big deal.
She has been over the course of the year. Every few, like, weeks, she just keeps getting these more shoes. And they posted pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she thinks they're tacky.
Yeah, you like some of them.
I was like, oh, those white boots? I just bought a pair of, like, a pantsuit that those would look awesome with.
If the size is right, you'll give it a shot.
Well,
right?
the size isn't right, because this is what she said.
That's the thing.
Wouldn't it be nice if they shipped size 11 Birkenstocks?
No, nobody's sending you size 11 Birkenstocks.
Size 11s, right. Nobody
Relax.
Knew that Sasquatch lived there. What's going on?
That's not nice.
I'm serious. I mean, I wear an 11 and a half. That's a brute.
This happened to Danielle, my best friend Danielle.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit different. She ordered these rag and bone shoes, two pairs of shoes to deliver to her house.
Yeah.
And they were expensive shoes. They were like $200 each or something like that.
Sure.
So they get delivered to her house and she gets them and she's looking at them and whatever. And she puts them to the side. The next day, the same thing comes.
Same shoes.
Same shoes. Another pair of them.
Right.
5 days in a row.
Come on.
The same two pair of shoes show up at her house. Now, her husband, Charlie, loses his mind.
Right, because he's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What is happening
here?
But she checks the cards, right?
And the cards keep getting charged. They're being charged every day for these shoes.
Oh, that's a problem.
Over and over.
That's a problem, then. I mean, if they were just doing a shipping error, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, I've got lots of shoes. I got shoes for days.
No, and then she had to go back to FedEx with 12 pairs of shoes.
And look like a crazy person.
To return them all.
Yeah.
Do you ever have anything shipped to your house that didn't belong to you?
Oh, God, I have this knife, this like scuba action knife that's like wrapped in paracord and good for like three atmospheres. It's like James Bond got into a dagger fight.
Mm.
I have no idea why it showed up at my house. Different address. Nobody that anybody knows on the street. Might be one of the top three coolest things that I own.
You just kept it. You didn't even try to return it.
Well, you know, if somebody breaks in and they want to have some sort of underwater battle, they've
you're
come
good.
To the wrong house.
Yeah, you're good.
They've
you're
come covered. To the wrong house. They're looking for trouble in the wrong place.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Tia and Jason. Tia, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so we're having a disagreement. My brother, he's 23. 6 months ago, he moved into an apartment where he couldn't take his dog that he's had for years. We stepped up. We took in Rex, and we love him, and my kids love him. Been 6 months, and he's lived with us. He's gotten comfortable with us. He loves the house. Now my brother's moving again, and he's found a place where he can have dogs now. So all of a sudden, he wants the dog back. He's like, just give me my dog. I'll come pick him up on Saturday. And it's just so typical of, like, his whole life. You know, he just takes no responsibility and gets whatever he wants. So I don't want to give him the dog, basically. I think the dog should stay with us. I think he would have a better life with us.
Jason?
I get where she's coming from, but Rex is his dog, and he had the dog for like 3 years. We agreed to watch him for a while. It wasn't like we were going to agree to keep him forever. So, I mean, it's his dog. So, it just to me, it makes sense to give him back what's rightfully his.
When he moved into his apartment where he couldn't have pets, I mean, I would assume you signed a lease. So, he knew it was for an extended period of time. What did he say to you? Like, will you take Rex while I live here? Or did he say, like, will you take Rex forever?
Oh, it was so last minute, of course, like everything with him. He was just like, oh, yeah, I have to move into this apartment. They won't let me have the dog. Can I drop him off at your place?
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
There's just no planning. Like, he doesn't plan it.
I mean, to me, it doesn't matter what he said before that, too, because no matter what he's going to say is when you're doing somebody a favor, they're going to say it's only temporary and I'll be back for this. Nobody says, yes, take this forever. I wouldn't assume so. But, you know, on the other hand, I think the key is in you believe the dog is better off with you guys. Whether that's your house or your lifestyle or his relationship with the kids or the time that you have to dedicate to the dog, a dog locked up in an apartment is not necessarily a good idea. Yeah, I know if you call the police, they're going to call it property. The dog is just property. So, you know, obviously, you wouldn't do that with your brother anyways. I think at the end of the day, everybody just wants what's right for the dog.
Did you tell your brother that you would prefer to keep him or you haven't even had that conversation yet?
No, I haven't talked to him about it. We've just been having this disagreement at home.
Right.
And then I figured, like, once we agree, then I'll talk to my brother.
All right. Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may 100% agree with you, Tia. Your brother is flippant. He's irresponsible. And he shouldn't be a pet owner. And the fact that he left Rex with you for 6 months and your kids have grown attached to the dog should be enough to say, you know what? Nah, he's going to stay here, Rex. You can come visit him whenever you want. But they may see Jason's side, too, that it's his dog. It was his dog for 3 years. So if he wants his pet back, he should have his pet back.
Yeah, that's what's hard about pet sitting, right? You fall in love with him. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Tia's 23-year-old brother had to move into an apartment where he couldn't take his dog with him. So he asked Tia if she would take the dog in, and she did. And 6 months later, the kids love the dog and everybody's happy. And now her brother has come back, says he's moving to a new place and he wants his puppy back.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to give him up. She loves the dog.
Well, I mean, it's not just the fact that she loves the dog. She just thinks that her brother is irresponsible. This is going to be the best setting for the dog. She's like, the dog has settled in with the family and the family has settled with the dog. And the dog is happier here. It's going to have a more fulfilling life moving ahead. What if this problem happens with my brother again?
Yeah, but Jason disagrees. It says, it's your brother's dog. He asked you to watch his dog. It's been his dog for 3 years. You can't just say we're going to keep the puppy now. What do you think? Can you? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court?
I'm on your husband's side. I mean, he had the dog for 3 years. Something happened in his life that maybe he had to get something smaller for it, and the dog wasn't allowed to be with him, but now he's going back to it. It doesn't mean that he's been responsible.
It is true. I mean, we run into problems in life from time to time, right? And you're not able to do that. Sometimes you have to change housing relatively quickly and you're not sure. I mean, maybe he was irresponsible before. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be irresponsible moving ahead. If you say to yourself, he moved into an apartment, he wasn't able to keep the dog, but now he's made different arrangements, it shows that he's coming back for him, right?
I get like that heart pull about like, well, the kids. Now the kids have had this puppy for 6 months and like they want the puppy to be theirs and now their uncle is going to come take it back. But I don't know. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Well, Tia's brother is 23 years old, and he had to move to a new apartment that would not accept pets. So he asked his sister Tia to watch his puppy while he was living there. Well, 6 months went by, and now the kids, they love the dog. And now her brother wants the dog back, and she doesn't want to give him back.
It's a tough situation. You know, I had a pair of cats that had to stay with a friend for almost a year when I moved at 1.2 and coming back cross country. And he wanted to keep those cats after. I kept those cats. I went back and collected my cats. I mean, those cats lived to be 22 years old, 23 years old. But I never asked the cats, Anna, what they thought, right?
Well,
with a dog kind of gives you more indication. Tia says the dog loves our kids. Our kids love the dog. The dog lives here in the house. We have a house, a yard. It's a better situation for the dog. But Jason says property's property. Your brother loves his dog and he wants him back.
And he's been living, it's been his dog for 3 years at that point.
Mm.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the girl's side, the wife's. The dog is not just a piece of property. It's a living thing. It needs to get comfortable. His brother sounds incredibly irresponsible. I would actually feel really uncomfortable giving the dog to him, thinking that what if he decides to move again if he dumps it at a shelter?
Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, I am on the sister's side. I feel like we just have to do what's best for the dog. And he's young. 23 is young. And if he is okay with it, I feel like maybe the dog should just stay put.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the only side to be on, which is the husband's side. And I think that the wife sounds like she's a little too wound up about this, that the husband should talk to the brother if they really want to keep the dog in a civilized way. And it's the brother's choice, not the wife's choice.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tia, our audience agreed with you today. I think having a conversation with your brother about how much the pet means to your family now and seeing if he would be willing to just let you keep him.
I love to be validated. So this has been very validating for me. And I totally agree. Like, it's going to be a tough conversation, but I do think it's the best thing to do.
Jason, you didn't get the votes, but let me give you a different scenario that might have been difficult. You give the dog back. Your kids are very upset. You guys go out and get a dog. And then all of a sudden, you've got the other dog back, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got two dogs. And you didn't think that's how the day was going to end. So I think that, honestly, this might be the easiest answer for you.
I'll deal with it. It's not the first time she's been right and I've been wrong. So
I think the bigger question is what happens to your relationship with your brother. But I guess you just play those cards when they're dealt.
You know, I choose the dog over everybody every time anyways.
Always. You do.
Every time.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,200 thanks to DoorDash. Imagine a world where one app can deliver meals, groceries, convenience items, and more. Use DoorDash.com or download the app and use promo code ORDERNOW50 for 50% off your next order. Get more from your neighborhood with DoorDash. Tracy, are you ready to do this or what?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Tracy.
Okay.
Thanks.
Raven's walking out of here. We have $4,200 on the line. It's 5 pop culture questions. Get more right than Raven, you win. Ties go to Raven. I'll bring them back into the studio when we're done. You ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Number one, Xbox is releasing a limited edition Sonic 2 console with red and blue fuzzy controllers to promote their upcoming Sonic movie. What are the 4 letters on the Xbox controller buttons?
A, B, X, and Y.
Number two, an It prequel series is in the works for HBO Max. It will be called Welcome to Derry. Who wrote the novel It?
Stephen King.
Number three, Bruce Willis will step away from acting as he's been diagnosed with a medical condition that impacts his cognitive abilities. He started his TV career in the 80s on an ABC comedy drama that he starred on with Cybill Shepherd. What show was that?
Moonlighting.
Number four, Kelly Clarkson has officially changed her name to Kelly Brand. What was the name of the movie that she starred in alongside the runner-up of the first American Idol?
Oh, that one with Justin.
Guess.
I don't know.
God, I almost heard it coming out of your mouth. All right, number five. Katy Perry has announced that she will narrate a 10-part podcast series about Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor was married 8 times to 7 men. What man did she marry twice?
Elizabeth Taylor, you said?
Yeah.
Married to... I don't know.
That's okay. That's all right. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, so Tracy got 3 out of 5.
All right, Tracy. 3. Let's see here if I can do it.
Xbox is releasing a limited edition Sonic 2 console with red and blue fuzzy controllers to promote their upcoming Sonic movie.
Cool.
What are the 4 letters on the Xbox controller buttons?
A, B, X, Y.
Yes. Number 2, an It prequel series is in the works for HBO Max. It will be called Welcome to Derry. Who wrote the novel It?
The best writer of all time, Stephen King, best friend.
Only writer Raven knows.
My best friend.
Number 3, Bruce Willis will step away from acting as he's been diagnosed with a medical condition that impacts his cognitive ability.
It's so sad.
It really is. He started his career in the 80s on a TV ABC comedy drama that he starred on with Cybill Shepherd. What show was that?
Moonlighting. Come on.
Number 4, Kelly Clarkson has officially changed her name to Kelly Brand. What was the name of the movie that she starred in alongside the runner-up to the first American Idol?
From Justin to Kelly.
How do you remember that?
I remember his hair was so magical. He had curls that were bounding. And he's the Diet Dr. Pepper guy, the sweet guy. I love that guy.
Number 5, Katy Perry has announced that she will narrate a 10-part podcast series about Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor was married 8 times to 7 men. What man did she marry twice?
I'm just going to take a shot because she married a lot of people. Joe DiMaggio?
No, Richard Berman. Oops. I'm sorry.
Did she marry Joe or was that Marilyn? I can't remember.
Marilyn Monroe married Joe DiMaggio. I'm sorry, Tracy. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Tracy and I can't beat Raven.
A little bit better there. Better luck next time. $4,300 tomorrow.
I mean, who's going to take this money? Will somebody please beat him?